Hallelujah. This is the Lamb, the last Lamb that will ever be slain is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is the final sacrifice that will be made for all man's sins. This is the one that God gave. This is Him. The Savior of the world has come. And there was a declaration that was declared to all creation to let them know. And not everybody knew what was taking place. Not everybody knew what was happening. Because some people, it looked like a dark moment. It looked like it was the darkest moment at that time. And things were so chaotic. And there was no move in a sense of God. But right here, I want you to see that there was a heralding. Angels began to declare that He is the highest, the Most High. Hallelujah. That God has come. Emmanuel, He has come. He has arrived on the scene. And I think about this. I think about, here's this baby that we declare. This is a baby. I know this is Easter, but I want you to hear this. Because here's this baby. It looks so defenseless. This is the King of the world. Hallelujah. The King of the universe. The King of kings and Lord of lords. And here He is as a baby. God doesn't do everything the way that we think He's going to do it. We got to trust God and know that He's God. And as we begin to take a look at this, I'm going to share some things with you. Hallelujah. That He made that announcement. That the Lamb, the Savior of the world, has come. And I began to think about this. I began to think where Jesus, if you could look in Matthew 6. Just check out Matthew 6. 9 through 11. And this is what Jesus said to pray. I want you to understand that here's the heart of God that He gave His only begotten Son. This is the expression of God. And man, today I begin to think about this, that no matter where you are, hallelujah, that today's the day that you recognize God's love. See, that's, we begin to understand that every day, whether or not I celebrate the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ every single day. But every year we're reminded of what? Sometimes some people go through things in life and they forget, hallelujah, who God is. They forget the expression of God and what's He all about. Sometimes we get lost in things and things get dark around us. But God will come on the scene and declare and let you know, hallelujah, that God gave His only begotten Son. That was the expression of God, that He loves you. And every single year we come and celebrate that day, celebrating the God, the expression of God to each and every one of us. In all the world. Hallelujah. So you want me to know that God, He's not mad. God loves the world. He gave His only begotten Son. He's not angry. Tell somebody in your family He's not angry anymore. I'm afraid to tell you He's not angry no more. God poured out all the wrath. Everything that we had coming was at the cross. He poured it out at that place, in that position. I want you to hear this. And so Jesus began to pray. This is the heart of God. And it says in Matthew 6, 9 through 11, it says, you know it all. It says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. That the Father's will be done in the earth. Come on, I want you to say in the earth. Come on, point to yourself and say in the earth, as it is in heaven. That the way things are in heaven, hallelujah, that it be done within you. That the peace that is in heaven, come on, that peace be within your life. And then the next verse says, this is okay. Well, then Jesus is praying. He says, well, how does this take place? That we could say to ourselves, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The next verse, this, give us our daily bread. I want you to know that to have heaven on earth, we need to partake of this broken bread. That we receive our daily bread. We receive what He did for me. We receive His body. We receive the what He did on the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we partake of the bread, hallelujah, that was given. His Son that was given to each and one of us. That we don't perish. See, that we can have heaven on earth. Doesn't that sound good? That we can have heaven on earth. That God's will, that it be done. Do you know what God's will was? God's will that there would be no separation between you and Him. That there would be nothing dividing you and Him. That was the heart of the Father. So He sent His Son, hallelujah, so that that separation would be gone. We could partake of that. We take that daily bread. And the next verse says that He anoints. What does it say? It says, and forgive, that we're able to forgive those ones. Why? Because we take hold of the bread. And then if we could jump down, he says, He leads me not in temptation, but delivers us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And he says, and he began to declare that. Thine is the kingdom forever and ever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That is powerful that we take hold of that. And now I want you to take you to a place where that it was dark. It was this moment. I just want you just to get this grip in your thinking. Begin to think about this for a second. Can I move around a little bit? I want you to get this in your. I just feel more comfortable if I can move, if that's okay. Hallelujah. I hope you're all smiling out there. This is a good day. I want you to recognize this, that this was a moment. This right here was when they took the communion and they were in the upper room. And as they began to break the bread, that Jesus, I want you to go through this routine and see that we talked about this on Thursday, how that He washed their feet. And then they broke and they had communion together, that they were taking this communion together. And sometimes, I want you to know that sometimes God is always moving. He's always speaking. But there's sometimes that we don't always hear what He's saying. I want you to know that every word that God declares, every word, there's power and there's strength in it. Every word that is spoken, hallelujah. We need to grab every word. We need to take hold of that bread because it's life. We need to grab hold of that with everything within us. So as they were sitting there and as at their place, and then all of a sudden they go and they go to the Mount of Olives and they begin to pray and they're at that place. And then all of a sudden here's Jesus, and Jesus, He gets gripped from them. And man, everything that they thought was going to happen, man, they begin to think that, man, we're going to be come for this thing. They thought, man, how are you going to do it this way? Man, how is this going to take place this way, Lord? Lord, that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That maybe we'd invade it. That sometimes we get our eyes and we think it a different way than what God says. Our thoughts aren't God's thoughts. Hallelujah. And as we see this, and then I want you to check this out because this is really good. I want to jump back because after He gave communion, here's Peter, and Peter says, and the Lord said unto Simon, He said, Simon, Simon, He said, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And I want you to hear that He called him Simon, Simon. I want you to know that we know him as Peter, the rock. But I want you to understand something, that he was pulling on Simon because Simon was at the place where he couldn't understand what God was doing, that he had to go to the cross. Why did you go to the cross? There's so many times in our life that we got to be real, that we don't know the moment that we're in, that we can't recognize what's happening, that we're not sure about this. And this is just like with Peter, that he couldn't believe, how is this going to happen? Why do you have to go away? Why do you have to go to the cross? I've already told you why. You just got to believe. There's some things that God says that we just got to believe. Can you say that? I just got to believe what He said, because every word is important that I take hold of in my life. So I want you to see that as He began to declare this, that as He said this to Peter, He's talking to Peter because Peter just before that was telling him, you don't need to go to the cross. You need to stay with us. That, Lord, don't do this. And He told him to Satan, get behind you. And He began to rebuke him for that, because it was not the will of the Father, that your thoughts are not my thoughts. He says, I'm doing this for you. Hallelujah. He was having a hard time about this because he walked with him all the time, that he knew them, but his walk is going to change. Something's going to get greater within us. See, God desires us to go farther. Hallelujah. See, God had something in mind that was bigger, that while you think God might be deserting you, God's working on something for you. He's not against you, but He's for you. So God was working something out for Peter. He was declaring something and He was speaking. I felt like He just was inside. Jesus was saying, Peter, the story's not over yet. Can you say that to somebody? The story's not over yet. It's not over yet. Come on, tell somebody, it's not over yet. Hallelujah. He's still working. He's still doing something. So Peter, he tells him, he said, Simon, Simon, he says, Satan has come to sift you, to separate you from me. That is the enemy's desire. He has come to separate you. The Bible says that the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come to give you life. See, and he is disrupting the enemy's plans. He has stepped on the scene to disrupt this plan, to bring you back to God again. Hallelujah. That you would have open access into the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God would be on earth as it is in heaven. That the will of the Father that would be expressed in your life, that his peace, his joy, his righteousness, you can overflow in your life. See, this is the heart of the Father. So he tells Satan, you know, Peyton, that's another name for Satan. No. And he says, I desire to have you, to separate you. But Jesus says that I pray for you that your faith doesn't fail you. And that when you are converted, you will be strengthened, your brothers. Man, this really jumps out at me because he tells them, he says, Peter, I'm praying for you. He said, Peter, you're not going to be faithful to me. But I'm going to be faithful to you. Peter, there's going to be times in your life that your faith will fail you, just like everybody here. They'll fail you. He says, but I will always be faithful to you. And at the end of this story, Peter, you're going to recognize, hallelujah, I had it all in control. You're going to recognize that I'm God. And you trust me and that I'm faithful. The plans that I have are for you, not against you. So he began to go and began to recognize that something's taking place here. And he said unto him, Lord, he says, I'm ready to go with you. He says, no, I'm ready to go with you. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go to prison. And Jesus said this to him. He says, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall crow this day before that three times. And you'll deny me that you even know me. That you will deny me that you know me three times. See, I want you to get this. I want you to understand something. As we jump back to the top where he was telling Peter, or he was declaring something to him. He was telling him, let me jump here and get this for you. I want you to see this. He says, and when you're converted, when you turn back again, when you recognize me and who I am, not only that you recognize who I am, but I want you to know that when you get your eyes on who I am, you find out who you are again. See, I want you to know that Jesus was interrupting. See, Simon was thinking back to his old nature. But God was showing him that, Simon, it's going to be okay. He says, because you're Peter. And when you come back to yourself, when you come back, strengthen your brothers. When you recognize you're not Simon no more. Come on. You're the rock. You're Rocky. You're victorious. Come on, amen. You're going to find out what your new name is. Hallelujah. You're going to find out, hallelujah, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're going to recognize that I'm greater. Hallelujah. As you see this, it might look like you're defeated. It might look like the story's over. But I'm telling you to trust in me, because you're going to recognize if you keep your eyes on me, if you keep believing in me. I know your faith will fail, but my love will never fail. Just keep your eyes on me till you see me. Hallelujah. Just begin to look upon the cross. Begin to recognize what I did for you. And it'll bring you back to who you are in him. It'll bring you back. It'll catch you back up into the understanding of who he is in your life. Amen? So, he says he prays that. And then when you do that, you stand up again. I just want to give you a couple scriptures. And as he finished that, he says, I tell you this, Peter, that you will deny me three times. And this is the other part of the John where he says this in John 14. He didn't leave him there. I want you to say it again. This is not the end of the story. See, because God's got something planned. And he tells him, he says, Peter, you're going to fail me. He says, but Peter, he says, do not be discouraged. Verse 14:1. He says, don't be discouraged. Hallelujah. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. He says, but believe in me. Believe in me and also in the Father, because I go to prepare you a place. Hallelujah. I go to prepare you a place in me. I'm preparing this for you, Peter. I want you to trust me. I want you to know the story's still going on. Peter, I'm writing a story for you. Hallelujah. That's your own individual story. That, Peter, you're going to recognize that you don't have to look back on that old nature no more. That one that has failed you. That you fell short in all that place where that you have been overcome in so many things in your life. Peter, I'm writing a new story. Hallelujah. And you're in that story with me. And when you recognize it, hallelujah, you will turn again and strengthen those that are with you. And he says this, and he says, go, he says, prepare a place for you. That I go to prepare a place for you. And I begin to think about that. I begin to think the Bible says that he prepares a place for me in the presence of my enemies. Listen, I want you to hear this and know that the enemy was trying to sift him. But while he was trying to sift him, God was preparing a place, hallelujah, right in front of the enemy and saying that I am making a way for him. I'm making a way for Peter. Hallelujah. I'm making a way for Chris. I'm making a way for Kelly. Hallelujah. I'm giving them a place in front of the presence of these enemies. Hallelujah. And he says, and I will anoint your head with oil and your cup will run over. I want you to understand that that's the power of the cross, that we understand that he was making a place for me in him. That I know Peter was upset because he was so used to having Jesus around. Sometimes change is hard, but we got to recognize, he says, that I just don't want to be around you, Peter. I want to be in you. Hallelujah. I want to abide in you, and I'm going to make a place for you. It doesn't make sense now, Peter, but the story's not over. Hallelujah. I'm still writing a story for you. And as he goes and he says, and the next verse it says that he's preparing, that he says, I will take your crowns and give you. I will take your thorns and give you a crown. Man, your cup runs over. There'll be a place of overflowing. Amen. And he said, because I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. Peter, you couldn't find your way. You couldn't get there. I know you said that, man, I'll go to prison. I'll go to death. He said, but Peter, I want you to know I'm the one. I am. I'm making a way for you to get to the Father. I'm making a way for you to understand who you are, that you're lucky. I know you heard me, Peter. I know you heard me say and call you Peter. But Peter, I want you to know how it happened. I want to show you how this works. I want to show you how that this is accomplished. Hallelujah. That I'm doing this for you. So that you could be in me. And it says that the truth, that you would know who you are. He says, and I'm the life. That you would have your life in me. Wow. That we would find our way to God. That we could walk in Him. Hallelujah. And move in Him. And we know who we are in Jesus Christ. So as we jump here, I want you to see, because here it is. And I don't want to get on people. Peter, I want you to recognize that sometimes in life, this is us. We go through things in life, and sometimes we experience things, and sometimes it's hard. And I just got done saying that Peter didn't understand the situation. How many times have you been in situations that you're not sure how this is going to work out? And it's that moment right there that your faith might fail you. But I want you to understand something. God was doing something in Peter just like He does within our lives. That God's working, He's moving, He's accomplishing something that we can't see. Hallelujah. The heavens are awakened. Hallelujah. At this moment, they were in excitement. Things are going on that nobody on the earth could recognize. Nobody on the earth was even aware of it. Even His closest friends. Hallelujah. Peter and John, those ones that were walking with Him. They all deserted Him except for John and Mary Magdalene and his mother. But everybody else deserted. Why? Because this thing was so hard. And then it says that Peter, as he was there and they took Jesus and they drug Him away and he watched Him, I believe that he was upset. I believe that there was a word. He was wore out. He couldn't understand, how's this going to end this way? That it feels like this story is going to end. And he's watching Jesus be drugged, be beaten, be dragged in front of the high priest. And he's peeking. He's peeking because it says that he watched from afar off. That he wasn't up close, but he was watching back. I feel sometimes when we're not sure on which ways to go, that we're unsure, uncertain about situations in our life, sometimes we step back from God and not run to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we don't know how the story is going to end, we don't know what He's doing in our midst. God, what are You doing? But I need to trust Him. I don't want you to know that God's doing something. And here was what He was doing. And God was working. When you don't think He's working, He's working. When you don't realize it, when you don't see it, when you don't feel like it, I want you to understand something, that we don't move by that, but we move by the Spirit of God that's moving within me. Hallelujah. And He said, And when he had kindled a fire, so he began to start a fire. He's afar off. He's keeping a distance. He still wanted to be with Jesus. He still loved Jesus. But he's at a far off. I know there's been some times that in my life, man, when I've been going through things in my life that I step back. I still love you, God. How many of you feel that way? I don't know if there's some people here tonight. I feel that in my heart. That there's some people that, man, you love God, but you're standing far off. That you're not embracing this moment. I want you to see something. So he says, and when he had kindled the fire, he says that he was set together and Peter sat down among them. He says, but the certain maid behold him as he sat down. I want you to know that he's out of sight of Jesus. But Jesus, Peter's not out of sight of Peter. Peter's not out of sight of Jesus. See, he's looking. In this moment, I want you to see what happened. Because when you don't believe in yourself, when you're trying to hide and just leave me alone, it says the fire kindled. And he's sitting there hiding. But the fire began to reveal his face to those that were there. And one of the women was there. He says, she began to get a glimpse of him. She began to recognize him. And he says, aren't you the one that was with him? You look a lot like him. I want you to know that sometimes when you don't feel like you look like him, someone will remind you, you look like your father. You look like that one that you follow. There's some moments in our life that we don't feel that way. But I want you to know, when we're not thinking about him, I want you to know he's thinking about you. Even in the midst of our despair, when we're thinking it's the darkest moment, God's writing a story for you. Hallelujah. He's writing a story and you're in the midst of this story. So the next part it comes, it says that here comes another one. And he come up and Peter said to him, he says, no, I don't know him. I don't know him. He disagreed who he was in his life. That experience that he had, he disagreed with Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, man, I don't agree. And then the third one came to him. And when the third one came to him, something happened within him. It says that he rose up and he was trying to fight who he was. He was still trying to be Simon. He says, but I want you to know that God was working on the cross to prepare a place for him in Peter, that you're the rock. And so while he was there, it says that third person came up and he began to look at him. And he began to look at him and he says, and he began to hear him talk. And boy, this really began to quicken me, because not only do you look like him, hallelujah, but you sound like him too. He says that his speech, he says that he recognized him by his speech, the way you're talking. How? And even in the worst conditions and worst moments, hallelujah, he's showing you that you look like him. That you talk like him. Hallelujah. And what he did for you was enough. You might not be in this moment right here. And something happened. It says that he cursed. He yelled. He got angry. But at the end, he says that when he began to speak, I do not know him. He says at that moment, he began to hear the rooster crow. He began to hear that. And at that moment, it's like an alarm system. Something quickened within Peter. Something gripped him. I want you to know what it was. It was the words that he heard before. The words that he didn't remember or understand before. The words that were spoken to him. I pray tonight that each one of us, that God's Word quickens within us. Hallelujah. In those moments when we feel like we're alone, but it's the Word of God that'll quicken us, that'll alert us, that'll cause us to stand back up again, to recognize that I'm rocky. Hallelujah. I could just picture like him just standing in that place after Jesus returns from the resurrection and he's seen him, he's standing on the beach. I could just see him. With his arms lifted up, hallelujah. I get it now, Jesus. I get it now. I just stay with me, Peter. I want you to know this through this whole thing. He's telling Peter, listen, you got this, hallelujah. Just keep looking at the cross. Just keep looking at me, Peter. He says, don't look at yourself, hallelujah. Don't look at how you're going to do it, but I want you to look at what I'm doing for you. It might not make sense to you, but I want you to look what I'm doing, because that's all that matters, hallelujah. Get your eyes upon the cross. Get your eyes on what I'm doing, hallelujah. Because I got something in store for you like never before. Amen. So he says, and as he goes off, and Man, I jumped off my notes here. But sometimes, I wrote this down, that sometimes we cannot make sense of facts. We try to make sense of facts. Why is this happening to me? He says, by avoiding the truth. See, the facts were Jesus was dragged to the cross. He was beaten. That's what the facts are. He felt separated from Him. He couldn't see it. He looked at His King and His Savior. The one that He watched walk on the water. Being hung on a cross. Hallelujah. He says, it didn't make sense to Him. Sometimes facts are all around us. They might be there. But I want you to know that we can't see the facts and avoid the truth. He was trying to hide the truth, and the truth was, you're the Rocky. Hallelujah. The truth is, pursuing Him, we make sense of the facts as we pursue Him. If you keep pursuing Him, the facts will make sense. You'll get the truth. Amen? Hallelujah. I just want you to see this last part. He says, I want you to get this and understand that this, the story wasn't over. He said that we see that part there and we understand the part of it. But see, Peter, through this whole thing, began to understand that his story, history that was taking place, became his story. See, he recognized that Jesus' story, his story, he was making it Peter's story. I'm giving you a story. Man, I begin to think about the song. Hallelujah. Do you remember the old song? This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. See, I want you to understand that Peter, he got a story. He gave him a place, an understanding that you have a story now, Peter. I've given you a story that you might have thought that this was the end, but I want you to know it's just beginning, Peter. And he said to him, and he says, and this is the story that he declared. He said, Peter, I am Peter, the servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ. To them have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. This is in 2 Peter 1. He says that I've obtained it by the power, by the favor and peace, that it be multiplied through you for the knowledge of the understanding of who He is. I want you to get this and take hold of this, because for him to get the rest of the story, that God's got a story for you, hallelujah, that's been declared even before the moment you were even born. He's already wrote a story for you that you are to walk in, that we're to walk in the Spirit to take hold of what He's done for us. And I want you to get this and see that it says, and according to as His divine power, as the power, His power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life. Everything that we need, hallelujah. Everything that we need in life, I did for you at the cross. Peter, I want you to recognize you felt like you were hopeless, but I was doing something in the midst of it. I want you to know that you might feel like you might be hopeless in situations in your life, but God's working. He's still doing a work, hallelujah, in your life. God's still moving. He said, but what He gave for me was enough, and it's working out of my life. That's what God wants to do. God wants to work out of your life. He wants to work through you and in your life. And He says that through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory, to power, this is my story, whereby are we given unto us an exceedingly great precious promise, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, the DNA of God, hallelujah, that now you receive it by the blood, that you receive the life that was shed for you. It's no longer I that liveth, come on, that He could declare, it's no longer Paul or Saul or Simon that liveth, it's Peter that liveth within me. It's Christ that lives within me. Come on. He's made me brand new. Old things are passed away. And He says, this divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world, He says, beside this, giving all diligence, He says, I ask you to add to your faith. Eat from the table. Man, this really quickened me because he's saying, eat from this table that he prepares for you. There's things that come along in our life, just like this situation. I want you to know that God wasn't nervous. He says, I prayed for you. He says, and when you come back, Peter, he says, just encourage your friends. Tell them who I am in them. Let them know who I am in them. God's working within you. And in the midst of it, he says, eat from that table, partake of it. And he says that your faith, I want you to get this. He says that I pray that your faith, the virtue, he says virtue means spiritual understand power, and to virtue knowledge, which means spiritual understanding, and to spiritual understanding, he says discipline, and from discipline, patience, passionate patience, and to passionate patience, he says reverent wonder. He says, and from reverent wonder to brotherly kindness, and from brotherly kindness to love. There's something growing, hallelujah, the DNA of God, that you would be filled, that my cup runneth over, that I take hold of what he did. I'm able to do that because he gave me a place to partake of him at the table. So I want you to see that God's increasing us. He's increasing us, and he's telling Peter, he's telling these ones, he says, I want you to know that God's increasing you as you begin to partake of what he did for you. As you begin to eat from him, you begin to abide in him, you begin to take hold of that, your faith will grow. Come on. That your passion for him will go. Something will begin to work within you if you let God work within you. Just keeping looking at him. You don't have to try to understand what you're going through. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. He's doing something that you don't know within you. You can't understand it, but you don't have to. You just need to take hold of what he's doing. And he says this. And he says, for if these things be in you, hallelujah, and they abound, they make you that you shall never be barren. I want you to hear that. He says that you will never be barren. That means that you'll never be idle. That fire won't go out when you begin to let God build your faith, increase you, hallelujah, that you begin to have a passionate patience. You begin to work from that place, that you begin to get this understanding, a wonderment about God. Something's working in your life as you take hold of what he's doing for you. And he says, that you won't be unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That you will not be unfruitful. He says, for if these things be in you, hallelujah, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and they can't see afar off. So I want you to recognize that, Peter, you don't have to look from afar off anymore. I want you to recognize what I did for you at the cross. There's no more separation. There's no more divider. I've made a way where there was no way, so that you can identify with me. And he said this. He says that we see from far off. We don't have to look far off. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his sins. Wow. That you don't have to look from afar off, but you realize what he did for you at the cross. It's all about the cross. And he says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, making your calling and election sure. Lay hold of, take hold of it with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Don't let it pass by. He says, and if you do these things, you will never fail. I want you to know that what he did, that we partake of him. That's what we're doing tonight. So I want you to get this and know that everything that he did for you, that we celebrate this. We celebrate this Passover. We celebrate this moment of communion. Taking what he did for me. But I want you to know that it's more powerful 2,000 years ago. But he did it for you. So that you can have a story. Hallelujah. So that you don't have to be afar off. That he can abide in your life. And you'll never fail. Hallelujah. For so an entrance shall be made unto you, that he's made a way. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. Because why? Because he wasn't negligent to bring me back into remembrance of who he was in my life. He told me that, Peter, you'll fail. But when you realize who you are, when you remember, you'll tell them, your sins are forgiven. I've risen from the dead, hallelujah. And I've given them a place that they might abide in my presence. And he says, and yea, he says, in all these things, though you know them, you establish in present truth, that you would have the present truth right now. Hallelujah. That we can have a present truth. God wants you to have a present truth of who He is in your life. He says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up, putting you into remembrance of who I am in your life. Wow. As my wife comes up here, I just want to, I want you to get your communion ready. I want you to take hold of it. He's not done writing stories. Can you say amen? He's not done writing stories. Hallelujah. But He wrote your story for you to walk out. The Bible even says it right here. As I was quickening, I want you to know that I don't know where you are, where we are in our lives, but God's still writing a story. It's not over. Hallelujah. It is finished what He did. Hallelujah. But I want you to know that He's doing something within each one of our lives. And the story has not fully been told. Hallelujah. Of what He wants to do in your life. And the Bible says in John 21:25, it says, should be rewritten. He says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, in which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lot of stories being told tonight. I want you to know that He's given you a place. Hallelujah. He's wrote a story for you to step into, to take hold of. He's made a way for you that you open up and read, hallelujah, what He's done for you through your life, the power that He's given you. As we look at Matthew 26, I'd like my wife to come up here. Matthew 26. 26. Before we take it, I want you to get this. I just want to give you a quick story that really got a hold of my life. And this was a revelation that I got of Him and His love for me. When my daughter was 3 years old, I was just getting used to her. I was just really, you know, I fell in love the moment I met her. But man, I didn't want to be separated from her. Man, I wanted to, every moment I wanted to grab hold of, I wanted to hold her. And man, I just want to feel her breath on me. Because at that time, your breath don't stink when you're little like that. You enjoy it. But I ended up going on a trip. I didn't think it was a big deal, but it was a 14-day journey to India. Man, I thought everything was going to be good. I had a phone that I could connect. It was an international phone. And man, I was worried. I left that place. But when I got to India, and the reality of it, after I flew 20-some hours, after I drove 5 hours in a car, and I finally got to my destination, I got to my room and I picked up my phone and it wouldn't work. Something came over me. Something began to come over me. I felt so emotional. I began to cry like a baby, and I laid on the floor because I realized I couldn't talk to my family. I couldn't get to them. I wasn't able to get to them. It wasn't like I was in Elwood City and I could just get in my car and drive. But there was a separation. There was a divide that separated me from them. Not like I didn't love them, but I couldn't get to them, hallelujah, because of this great divide. Finally, I ended up doing the work of the Lord, and I came home 2 weeks later. But when I got, I was so excited. Man, when I walked down that on top of that escalator, and I looked down, and I seen my daughter, and I seen my wife, I began to bawl like a baby. I began to cry, tears running down my cheeks, that the separation was removed. Hallelujah. And as I looked at him, God began to whisper in my ear, this is what I felt when I was separated from you because of sin. Man, I ran down and I grabbed my baby and I held her arms. I said, no more separation. I'm never leaving you. Hallelujah. You're never getting away from me. It overwhelmed for me, but I want you to know that's what God feels when you take hold of what He done for you and receive it, because it breaks the separation. Hallelujah. I hope that you realize that. I hope that you understand that what He did for you was enough. Hallelujah. It made you worthy. Hallelujah. It brings you in boldly into His throne room. I thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. I thank you for what you did, God. Lord, sometimes I don't always understand. Sometimes I disagree with who you are in me. But God, what you did for me is enough. You've made me mighty. You made me worthy. You've given me a place where I can stand and I can say, the weak, let them say I'm strong. The sick can say I'm healed. Hallelujah. The poor can say that I'm rich. We can stand in that without understanding because of what He did for me, and I am in His presence. So I want you to see, I want you to take hold of this as we take this communion. Hallelujah. As you have it in your hand. He says, and as they were eating Jesus, He took His bread. He says, and as He took the bread, He blessed it. And He broke it. And He gave it to His disciples. And He said this, take, eat. For this is my body. Would you receive it? And He took the cup. And He gave thanks. Lord, we give You thanks. And He gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it, every bit of it. Hallelujah. Don't let nothing go to waste. He said, for this is my blood of a new testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. We do this being put back together again. We do this in remembrance of Him. I'm remembered again. I'm put back together again. Saul or Simon had a story now. I'm put back together. I am who He says I am. I'm put back together again. That separation has broken. That we take hold of it with all the hearts. That we come into union. Come, union. Come into union. And come into union with Him. You might have felt, you might have been running from God. You might feel like you're far off, but I want you to know you're not, because of the blood. Because of that, you took hold of it. I believe in my heart that by that, you taking hold of that, that it not only, it forgives sins, but it breaks the curse. That curse that has been, was on us, has been broken because of Jesus Christ. And the blood speaks. Lord, I thank you. Lord, it's by your blood. Hallelujah. Lord, the power of your blood. Hallelujah. That's life-giving blood. Lord, you give me life. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you for what you did, God. We stand in awe tonight, God, Lord, for what you've done. No matter where we are, no matter what place we're in, you've made a way for us where there was no way. We give you glory. We give you honor. Hallelujah. To the great and mighty. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I thank you for joining. I hope you have a great day tomorrow. Make it a fabulous time together with your family. Enjoy one another. Take hold of it, because this virus is coming to an end and you're going to get back in church really soon. God bless you. You're blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.